Hi there. Welcome to Be the Evidence. Susan and I wanted to let you know that BeTheEvidence.live is up and running. It's our community platform where we really put practice everything that we speak about within the weekly podcast. So within the platform of BeTheEvidence.live, you will get real-time text notifications as the energies shift, as planets move, as there is awareness happening around how to deepen our practice into presence. You also get guided meditations and intuitive images to work on within a meditation and journaling practice. There's lifestyle and presence practices suggestions, as well as recipes to help support your becoming. We also will have live calls there where you can interact with us, get monthly forecasts on what's to come, have live Q&A sessions, and so much more. We would love for you to join us and be part of the community of becoming and being the evidence of what we all truly know is possible. I hope to see you there.
How are you doing?
Sensitive spot today we're in.
Yes. Lots of the tears. They feel like they're on the approach or being held back, or the feelings are they're there and arising.
When I was coming back from walking my son to school, I was thinking about how we're being kind of squeezed into having honest feelings, especially when it comes to trauma and what has happened to us, and then having to take responsibility for the impact of our healing.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, it affects people around us.
Yeah, it's that, like that reclamation of our story, and owning it, right? There's a quote by a poet, R.M. Drake, and he's like, "You're beautiful because you know your own darkness, and still that alone does not stop you from finding your own light." It is like that sensitivity, right? Like of knowing your own darkness and still allowing that you can receive the light, that you can pivot towards that reception, towards the acknowledgements, towards the recalibration of how it's not singularly. Like none of the, like my story, it did not just impact me. It impacted other people, right? Like, and vice versa. I think that's where a lot of the sensitivities come from, because it's felt twofold, if not beyond, in different multitudes.
So when we're recording on Monday the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
Sun is on approach to the North Node in Cancer.
Yep.
So North Node is the direction we're supposed to be heading in. We're trying to head in the direction of openness and care, right? Vulnerability. That's trining into Chiron retrograde at 27 Pisces. So Chiron is the wounded healer.
Mm-hmm.
The wounded healer is trying to say all that aches, all that feels bruised up, we can let that be over now.
Mm-hmm.
We are on approach within 5 days of Mercury retrograde in Sagittarius, going back into Scorpio, and Venus direct in Libra going into Scorpio within a day of each other, December 1st and 2nd. And I think that that will trigger us to have to face what, quote, that is. If we're going to let that be over now, what is that?
Yeah.
And I feel like we're getting squeezed. We're getting squeezed into having to really face it and be honest about it, and then not stop there. Because sometimes when we have intensity or darkness or shame, we can want to numb out or run or deny or escape or deflect.
Right.
But this is going to ask us to not do that.
Yeah, I am already, I can feel that already of like, nope, the request here is to lean in, to walk forward. It was like, I was talking to you beforehand of like, it feels as if like, and I know this is a really extreme analogy, but it feels like that analogy of like, oh, before you were to like, I don't know, walk the, and have your final meal, right? Like, or before you went and in front of a firing squad, whatever, of like, what are the things that you really want to get right with right now in order to like have a clear conscience, in order to really accept possibility, right? Like in order to say that there could be a different way that could exist, even though like you may not be able to conceptualize it or visually see it. It feels like that type of pressure of like, oh shit, I need to handle this. And if it means like I'm in my sensitivity and I am aching and I am raw because of the ways that I have chosen to protect myself or the ways that I've chosen to numb myself, like now is it, in my feeling, it feels like now is the only chance I get. Like here it is. I have right. to show up now.
Yeah. And there's, because there's promise trying to come in.
Right.
So sun is crossing Jupiter in Sagittarius, Jupiter rules Sagittarius. It's in real time, right now, not later, right now,
mm-hmm.
trying to bring in hope and possibility. Mercury is retrograding over those two guys.
Right.
And so Mercury retrograde over these two guys can make you fall into doubt, but I think the function of it is to try and get us to rearrange our thinking mm-hmm. to be able to come in with fresh thinking about what is possible. Then we'll go into Scorpio and go, what is getting in the way of that? What is getting in the way of you having nimble new thinking about incoming possibility? Well, every other time I believed in possibility, I got dropped on my face. Okay. Right. Well, let's be honest about that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It's like that, the process of laying all of the cards on the table and really like truly laying all the cards on the table of like, well, if I believed in possibility and I got dropped or somebody left because of it, then this is what I have to say. Like, this is what it was. This is why I responded, how I responded to those things happening. And this is how I tried to recalibrate from it. This is how I tried to protect. This is how I tried to move forward. And this is how I tried to like shut it back or house it or release it or ignore it. Right. And like all of it has to come out.
Mm-hmm. And there's assistance.
Yes.
Right. So as of yesterday, I think it was, no. It was Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night. Neptune is now direct in Pisces. Neptune is a very big planet. It's an outer planet. It moves slowly. So we need to give Neptune a little time to gain momentum. But when Neptune is retrograde, it feels like we're not guided anymore, that we've been right. dropped, that we've been forgotten. And now divinity is showing back up going, you know, I'm back, except that the reality is we've never been dropped.
Right.
Okay. Neptune retrograde gives us the feeling of being dropped so that we dig within to find our inner faith.
Mm-hmm.
We've never been actually dropped, but that's the feeling and it's valid. Now guidance is returning, but we're going to have to come out from underneath the bed. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to come back to reality where we can receive assistance. We're going to have to come back to participating. We're going to have to come back to not giving up and being honest and meeting healing halfway and making it follow through all the way into landing into reality, the reality mm-hmm. of our lives.
Yeah. And I think like, for me, it's really important to clarify, like the not giving up is not like not giving up on a job that doesn't work for you not giving up on like this partner that doesn't show up, right? Like it's not giving up on your sacred self. It's not giving up on your highest self. It doesn't really have anything to do. I mean, it can play out right within the external, but what we're really talking about not giving up on is your highest infinite self.
Life, the life. Highest octave yeah. of your life.
Yes.
Right. And so that's an excellent point because in Sagittarius, it's that we have unlimited possibilities and hope is always alive. Right. Hope is always alive, but it's not necessarily for that one person who's right. like draining your bank account. Okay. Right. Hope is always alive for you to have a partnership that is healing and expansive. Right. It may not be that person. Hope right. is always alive for you to go out on your own with your career,
right.
not necessarily be staying in the same career that's killing you.
Right.
It's not giving up on continuing to show up and meet life halfway, because life is trying to deliver to you what is meant for you and what's going to exalt you and take you higher. And if that means you've got to turn away from things that are hurting you or dragging you down or distracting you, mm-hmm. you got to let that happen too. That's right. Part of not giving up too, going, this is hard. I'm going to have to drop this. Okay, well, go ahead and drop it, and then we'll adjust and we're going to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you drop things when they're holding you back or numbing you out or that they're distracting you? How do you get to that place to be able to drop them?
First of all, it's difficult because I don't like being told what to do.
Immediately, I'm like, yeah, you and me both. Like,
you can't make me. But as, you know, the longer you hang around in life, the more you come, I think you come to the point where you just want to feel better. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, you get kind of a healthy dose of being selfish. Mm-hmm. I don't want to feel like this anymore. I don't want to carry this anymore. I don't want to deal with this person anymore. I don't want to hold this baggage. I don't want to feel shame. Mm-hmm. I just don't want it. I want better for myself. And then you can go in the direction of, okay, then I choose not to do this anymore. I choose not to interact with that person anymore. I choose not to stay here anymore. Because it's on me, not because somebody told me I have to or I can't or whatever.
Yeah, it's like that piece for me of like that spiritual exhaustion, right? Like, I think you and I have talked about this too within working with the corporate and government work, where like I got to a place where it was like my spirit was just exhausted. Like I could not keep coming in and doing the same thing that was just pulling me down. Like I could not, and this has happened in multiple places where I can't come in and say the same thing that I've said 1,001 times anymore. Like my spirit is just tired of it. And like I've seen it with clients where they're eating really poorly and they're like, I'm just exhausted by the fact that my body always aches. Like I want something else. It's just like that exhaustion piece that creeps up of like, I can't do this anymore, because if I do, there's no telling how you pick yourself up. Like you just are at that place where it's like, this is the line and there's no telling how I climb up.
Right. So this is not both continuing to do something that's hurting you and even trying to do something to come out of it. Right. Neither of them is about upholding other people's expectations.
Right.
Neither.
Yes.
What do you want for yourself? It's being on your own side as if you're your own best friend or your own spouse or your own soulmate and being like, do we really want to be doing this? Mm-hmm. No.
Right.
Okay. Then let's stop.
Right.
Let's stop. What do you want to do? I want to feel better. Okay. Let's start there.
Right.
On your own side. And I think that might be challenging for people. And that's one of the traps of Sagittarius. We're in Sagittarius season now.
Right.
Sun in Sagittarius, Jupiter in Sagittarius. One of the traps of Sagittarius, not all Sagittarius energy does it, okay? But you can fall into it, is needing outside validation.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you tell me I'm amazing, I'll believe it. Or as soon as you tell me I'm doing a great job, I'll keep doing it. Or look at me. Look at me.
Right.
Look at me. I'm great, right? Yeah, you're great. Keep doing whatever you're doing.
Right.
It's learning to go within and be like, I'm proud of myself right now. I believe in myself right now. I stand for something right now, and have that fuel itself. Being on your validating yourself into new directions.
Yeah, being your own personal cheerleader. I think that can be very difficult, especially like one when you are taught to be a caregiver. Right. Or where when you're taught to not express emotions or to withhold emotions, or to even not acknowledge them, like to start coming to that place of like, how am I my own personal cheerleader, my own personal best friend, when you've never had that, right? Like that everybody has always been the person to house it for you, or the person to show it to you or mirror it to you, like being able to lean into that understanding. Can cause like that aching, right? Like that aching of like, I don't know where the fuck to go here. I don't know what to do with this. Like, where do I even begin? And then of course, like that's where the trap of like numbing out and escaping definitely comes in. But I feel like that's that continual call of like, how do you get to come back to the place of like self-acceptance and acknowledgement, as if all those figureheads that have ever been in front of you, whether it's a job, a car, a person, the parents, like, I don't give a shit what it is, right? Like as if they were still standing in front of you, but instead you're looking at your own mirror, your own reflection.
Mm-hmm. Which is incredibly difficult. Mm-hmm. If you have issues with being traumatized by people, by being left by people, by being abandoned, by actually being told that you fucking suck.
Right.
It's hard to do a 180 within yourself whenever you witness those things.
Right.
And so first of all, let's not underestimate that none of us does this alone. Right. Right. If you're in a situation like that where you've been like, listen, the only thing I've ever been told is that I will never make it, or I suck, or I'm doing a terrible job, or I'm ugly, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It is important to reach out and get a hand. We mm-hmm. all need help in some way.
Absolutely. I mean,
that one of the reasons why we do this platform is to make sure that people don't feel alone. Right. Okay. So there's that, right? But at the same time, I think that one of the tricks that I've learned over time is to stop looking to what people are telling me from the outside, mm-hmm. especially when they're trying to push me down,
yeah,
and get on my own side, and just believe in myself, just listening to my own heartbeat, listening to my own breath, listening to what inspires me, listening to the possibility within stillness, mm-hmm. and get real still with myself and be like, I'm not going to adhere to any of that anymore. Anybody who is talking to me that way, I don't need them in my life. Mm-hmm. And if you start there and start to crawl your way out of the well of self-doubt or shame mm-hmm. or being kind of exposed in how raw you are in your trauma, if you start to climb your way up and just start reaching for little bits of light, just start climbing. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the deepest, darkest well I've ever been in. Nobody could help me. Nobody could help me. And it was because I wouldn't let them, first of all. Mm-hmm. And all I heard was, you need to start climbing. You need to start climbing. And I didn't even know what I was climbing towards. It took a lot of one step at a time, climbing my way out of that deep, dark, emotional, physical, spiritual well before I even saw a little bit of light.
Yep.
And then once I saw a little bit of light, I could keep going.
Right.
And what I discovered whenever I got out of that well, not to say that I don't fall into fear or shame or regret to this day. I think we always will because we're human, yep. right?
Right. It's a human experience.
But what I discovered when I got up over the top of that well is there are lots of people in recovery. Mm-hmm. Lots of people who are holding the note of, you can heal. It's okay.
Right.
We're here too. It's the people who mind the wells. The people who never leave the well, the people are right. always standing there going, listen, when you're ready to climb out, there are lots of us up here. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you reach for. Mm-hmm. You reach for that there's something higher than what you've seen so far. And at first you just have to trust that someone on a podcast said it to you in your ear one day.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I was talking to a friend and, we were talking about like maintaining hope and how I maintain hope, especially because I have had like, I think that similar experience where my rock bottom was created because I didn't want to accept help or ask for help or acknowledge that I needed help. And like how you climb out of that when you've experienced that type of overwhelming darkness that you don't know that there's ever a light at the end of the tunnel. That you don't know that you're ever going to climb out of it. And I was explaining that I had taken up writing letters to the universe and like just saying, you know, like, hey, obviously there's a reason that I'm here. I don't think that staying in the bottom of this well is my true reason, but if it is, here I am. I've done my due diligence.
I'm really good at this task.
I'm nailing it. So we can be done now, I think. Could I have a new one, please? But then also just being like, okay, well, what else is there? Is there something else that's possible here? And I don't think it can be stated enough that there is not a magic elevator to coming out of that well. There is not this amazing teleportation that happens, and all of a sudden you've transcended all of your shame, all of your grief, all of the darkness. It is meticulous and tedious, and it requires such due diligence to sit, and it's one fingertip, right? Like, it's one inching of the toe. Sometimes it's just a fucking blink of the eye, and that's all you can get to move forward. There's something that cannot be said about that process. And I think of how slow, but also how much awareness it takes. It makes me think of that that movie where that guy was trapped in the cave in the mountains and had to cut off his own arm. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. 120 hours.
Yeah. It about like how slow those moments moved by to keep himself alive and to keep himself with that hope of possibility that there could be a outcome on that he could not see, right? Mm-hmm. It feels a lot like that, where it's like, it's gruesome and it's hard and it's tedious and you ache and you break and you don't know that there's a light at the end of it. And yet there's no other possibility but to try to see if there is.
Yeah. And that is, I think that's the sequence we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, Mercury retrograde is going to go over Sun and Jupiter, and Sun and Jupiter they're having a great time. They're like, what else can we bring in? They're right. Fine. Right? Right. It's Mercury. It's our head.
Right.
And so right now it's wrapping our heads around possibility. It's wrapping our heads around, what do you actually believe about life?
Mm-hmm.
In preparation for Sun and for Venus and Mercury to go into Scorpio. So right now is when you need to start thinking, what do I actually believe about life?
Right.
Not what I've been told, not what experience has taught me.
Right.
Because we heal out of experiences. What is my actual belief?
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe that we have the ability to heal? Do I believe that I'm free? Do I believe that I can pivot? Do I believe that things can come into my life that have nothing to do with anything I've ever seen before? Do I believe that?
Right.
If the answer is no, we need some adjustment.
Right.
Okay. If the answer is yes, that is really actually what I believe. All right. You got 5 days. We're going to go into Scorpio. Let's clean up the stuff that's in there that's getting in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you hold your beliefs about the possibility of life in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We get into Scorpio when it's trining into Pisces, and it gets hard, and it's going to get hard. Okay. You go, I'm doing this because I'm setting myself free. I'm not waiting. Nobody's coming to set. I'm going to set myself free because that's what I believe. I believe that I can set myself free. I'm going to have to face this. I'm going to have to wash it out. I'm going to have to get clean, not pure. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nobody's pure.
Right.
But clean of this, whatever this is, whatever's happened to you, whatever you've witnessed, whatever hardship you face, whatever lack that you feel, cleaning that out because you believe that we can be set ourselves free into possibility. It's in that order.
Yep.
Trying to understand what you truly believe in and then going, all right, how do I get myself to be a better vessel mentally and in the way that I receive life in general?
Yeah, we're prepping the soil. We're preparing the soil. Like, I think there's this practice of what do I believe, right? And writing that out, it's sort of... The Secret Life of Bees, she had her worry wall, right? Like, this is the places that I put my worries, right? In order to release them from her body. But some of my friends have this practice where they put their beliefs on paper and then they wrap it around a seed or a bulb. And then they plant that seed and the bulb into the ground and nurture it. And so that way they can see their belief springing up in the spring to give them the renewed sense of hope. Right. But it has to take root in the deepest, darkest shadows. Like, you have to make sure that you're not planting the bulb where there's a ton of rocks and it has no place to grow. Like, you have to make sure that you're digging a good hole for it to grow in. But first of all, you have to create that. This is what I believe is going to be a result of this ball being planted. This is the note that I am holding, that I am wanting to see come into fruition, that will be on my dining room table, that will be in my living room, that will be there to remind me that this is what I stand for.
It takes a lot of bravery mm-hmm. and a lot of trust.
Yeah.
It takes a leap. That's what Sagittarius does, right? Like the way that I describe Sagittarius is like being an astronaut. Mm-hmm. And you're going to go outside of the spaceship into space, and you go out and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. It goes on forever. This is amazing. And you right. go, shit, I could die. And so.
I'm sure there's definitely that risk.
And so Sagittarius will reach back and make sure it still has its tether mm-hmm. to the spaceship so that it can keep expanding and know that it's not going too far.
Right.
It goes too far sometimes. Sometimes right. the tether snaps. But that reaching back to the tether is about you believing in yourself. Mm-hmm. I got me, right? Mm-hmm. That's right. You've got you. So I can believe further, right? That's right. You can.
Yep.
Constantly checking in with yourself. I'm still good, right? Like what would happen if I go, I don't know, fuck it. Let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to be fine because you've got you, don't right. you? You're like, yep. Uh-huh, I do. I'm going to go in this direction. Brand new direction, has nothing to do with anything I've ever seen before.
Right.
We're going to do this, right? Uh-huh. We're going to do this. All right. As long as you got you.
It's consistently coming back to presence, consistently coming back to the self. And that is definitely a process, right? It's a process of the morning glory of unfolding in the sunlight and unfolding in possibilities and then folding back up at night and being like, okay, what did I learn here? Right? Where did I step out of myself? Did I choose numbness anywhere? Did I stop believing in my possibility? Okay, I've got tomorrow to do it again. Here I go. Sun's arising.
Black Moon Lilith is an Aquarius. I just checked it. Mm-hmm. There's another piece to this that I tap into often is when we're told that you are the sum of what's happened to you or that you better do what everybody else is doing or you're doing it wrong mm-hmm. or that you're stuck like that mm-hmm. or that you better behave. Mm-hmm. Black Moon Lilith and Aquarius is like, fuck that shit. What are you talking about?
Right. How long is Black Moon and Black Moon and Lilith is Aquarius? Because I'm like, yeah, I am not.
Midway through the sign, so we okay. got it.
Good.
like there's also like, why should you believe in possibility? Why should you work on your healing? Why should you reach for light? Why should you expand? Why? Right. How about you tap into, because you're categorically against people telling you you can't.
Right.
Watch me.
Right.
Watch this. And when they go, you can't possibly, you're like, I didn't ask you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like that level of defiance. If that's the motivation that you need to lean into possibility, then you use it. It's like Kali energy that she uses anger in order to transform, right? It's the same sort of thing of like, whatever you need to access in order to hold the note of possibility. And I've got my back no matter fucking what. Then that's what you hold on to.
Even if it's that you go, no, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to heal this shit right now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
Thank you for listening into the Be the Evidence podcast with Susan and I. We are really grateful that you are here, that you're showing up, that you're willing to be seen, and that you're exploring these conversations. Thank you. If you're curious at all about the offerings and the readings that Susan and I do, I would really urge you to go to our websites. There you will find a lot more information about who we are and the services that we have. Susan can be found at susangrace.org, and I can be found at aubreycara.co. For all of our listeners of the podcast, we have set up a Patreon page specific to you guys. There you will find services that are not available to anyone else. And you can find us on patreon.com/BeTheEvidencePodcast. When you're there, there are two different options for you to have access to a guided meditation and or a reading with Susan and I both. If you ever have any questions or comments or feelings that you would love to share or stories about how the podcast is resonating with you, we would love to hear them. Please feel free to reach out to us at betheevidencepodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, please know we are deeply grateful for all the ways that you are showing up. We see you, we hear you, we feel you. Thank you.